Woven Underwater by Roger Davenport, with Gary Waldhorn, John Hollis and Margaret Courtney.
It's a gloomy city, London, isn't it? These days.
You should have picked a hotel with cleaner windows.
I wouldn't have thought you'd be too bothered by your surroundings, Mr. Hamilton.
I'm not. These days.
No, that's the impression I got. I came quite a way to see you.
Now you're disappointed.
Isn't it surprising? I came to meet a private detective. And I'm talking to a man whose current employment is delivering free newspapers. Perhaps you might explain why Chief Inspector Wilkins recommended you so highly.
I think he feels responsible for me. He put me in jail once. Had a very poor effect on my image.
It still has, as far as I'm concerned.
It's history, Mr. Johnston. Not only am I no longer a threat to society, I've even managed to get by all right.
Wow.
Till just recently. Lost my car, lost my job. Look, if you want to judge a book by its cover, well, that's fair enough by me. And give me the bus fare and I'll go.
It's a tempting thought. But whatever your manner may be, and whether I like it or not, which I do not, as a matter of interest, you are at least qualified for the job. And Sir James was very keen it should be an army man.
Now, as we're still talking, I'll help myself to another whiskey, if I may. I'm not an army man, Mr. Johnson. Unless you count national service.
I do with your record.
Ah. Wilkins told you a lot, didn't he?
What did he tell you?
He told me that if I was interested, there might be some work for me in Scotland. Because a man called Sir James Blake had received a threat to his life and wanted someone to provide security for a week while he had house guests at his home in Galloway. Apparently, your Sir James has strong opinions about Scotland's place in the British Isles and wrote what is called a strong letter to the Times about it.
You're well informed. Not only did he attack the notion of devolution, but he also took the opportunity to sound off about Calvinism, the Kirk, and Scottish trade union leaders to boot.
Yeah, just about covered it all, didn't he? My theory is he's only posing as a high Tory, and really Sir James is a socialist agitator.
It's a great sense of humour you have there. Don't you ever get tired of it?
I like to stay cheerful. And it's not my life that's being threatened.
No, that's right, it isn't. I don't suppose you'd stay so cheerful if it was you who'd got a bullet in your mail. Did Wilkins tell you that your cover was to be as an old army friend of Sir James?
He did.
Aye. And just who do you think's going to swallow that one?
I could always put on a pair of green Wellington boots and brush my hair, that sort of thing.
Mm. I can see how you find it hard to hold on to a job, Mr. Hamilton.
Do you? What kind of bullet did Sir James get through the post?
It was a rifle cartridge. 7.62 by 39 millimetre, if that means anything to you.
Yeah, it does. It's a bullet you'd find up the spout of a Russian assault rifle. And that's just a dirty face, you see.
Perhaps not. Ah, what the hell. I was poor myself once.
But you learned poise and sophistication, and now you're an estate manager. Well, there's hope for us all.
The bullet came with a threatening letter from a self-described nationalist action group calling itself the Scottish Border Patrol.
And this was the first anyone had heard about
it? Aye. So do you dismiss it as a hoax? But until last year, Sir James was a magistrate.
No doubt one with compassion and liberal tendencies.
I wouldn't go that far. But fear.
The point being that the local populace has no especial reason to worship him.
That's about it. Now, Sir James isn't the type to worry for himself, but you see, his children are coming up and he's
a wee... It'd be a shame to waste expensive educations, wouldn't it?
I think we'd get on just a wee bit better if we stuck to the details.
You're right. Sorry. Well, detail number one is that if you're going to be serious about this thing, I'll need help. At least one man.
If we take you on. And I'm not saying we are, mind. Not for certain. We could accommodate that, I should think. But we wouldn't want anyone local. Is there a man you know of?
Yes, as a matter of fact. If I can persuade him, there is.
Sausage, egg and chips, twice.
Galloway? I thought that was in Ireland.
No, that's Galway. Galloway, Scotland. Very beautiful, apparently.
Well, I think it sounds great, Mr. H. I could do with an holiday, all expenses paid.
Don't you have any questions, Frank?
No. I mean, you know what's going down, don't you? It's good enough for me.
You know, you're making me slightly uncomfortable, bearing in mind what happened last time.
Oh, well, that was an accident, wasn't it?
I'd scarcely call being run off the road at 90 miles an hour a complete act of God.
There you are. Two teas, two toast.
Oh. No, I didn't want any
to... On the house.
Thanks, love. It's good on you.
That's all right, love. Anything else you want?
No, thanks, love. Oh.
Well, just shout if you do, love.
Yeah, all right, love. Oh. Well, what do you think, Mr. Hamilton?
Stewed and too much sugar.
No, not the tea. The girl.
Yes, I know. I guess somehow. A cracker, Frank. Real cracker.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so.
What's her name?
Lynn.
Lynn. Lovely name. She looks really healthy, too.
Oh, yeah. Robust, you mean? Well, she's not small, I grant you. But it's all in the right places.
If you're going steady, Frank, that's all the more reason to take care of yourself, which means you should start asking the right questions about this job.
Like what? There's this geezer who wants some protection for a few days, and so you go up there as his mate who's got a bit of money, and I'm your driver. What more do I need to know?
Put like that, not a lot. What I'd like to know is, why does he want us to work undercover, as it were?
Well, you said he doesn't want to worry his guests or his family.
He must have a pretty good reason not to call off this house party, though, mustn't he?
Perhaps he has.
The local police have been informed about the death threat, of course. There's an inspector called Patterson who'd been told we're coming up to. And he either can't or won't provide protection himself.
Well, he wouldn't, would he? The way I see it, the whole thing's probably hoax anyway.
Yeah.
Money for jam.
Sure. Oh, sure. The odds are nothing's going to happen, and Sir James is just hedging his bets. It's just... Oh, I don't know. Anyway, so you're on, are you?
I'd always put on the gloves for you, Mr. H, you know that. Yeah, that's what they used to say about me. The Cowley body worker. As gloves, will travel.
They said that, did they?
Yeah, I've still got the cut in somewhere. Boxing News, I think it was.
Well, with any luck, there won't be any scuffles. Anyway, I'll be in touch, okay? Sorry to waste a toast.
Nice thought, though, wasn't it? Yeah, all right. Give me a bell, then.
Yeah, will do, Frank.
So, that was the great Eddie Hamilton, was it?
The one and only, yeah. He's a good bloke, isn't he?
How would I know? He didn't introduce us. What's he want, then?
He's got a little job for me.
Oh, yeah?
Just a few days in Scotland. A doddle. Yeah, I tell you what, we're going by train, not flying. You know why?
No.
Well, yeah, this will show you his sense of humour, love. He says, now, as good as this, he said, I had a heavy experience in a light aeroplane once. It's good, that, isn't it? It's funny.
Not very, no. From everything you told me about this fellow, he's going to land you in trouble.
Ah, not this time. I've got a good feeling about this one. Mr. H.
Hello, Frank.
Yeah, thought you was going to miss it. Gordon, Bennett, what have you got in them? You been infected or something?
Not this week.
Here, give us one then.
It's mostly clothes. Oh. A gentleman doesn't travel light, at least not this one. I've spent a fortune at the dry cleaners. What have you come as then? You look like a bouncer at a funeral parlour.
Oh, I thought I got it just right. Respectable, but...
Well, who am I to say? Anyway, remember, you're not a servant as such. We can be quite familiar. You know.
Right.
Listen. Before this plastic imitation of a train fills up, I'll tell you the latest. We're picking up a hire car at Dumfries. There's a genuine Bedouin servant's quarters at Broadstone House, and that's where you'll sleep. Keep your eyes and ears open.
What, you reckon it could be an inside job, like?
I shouldn't think so. But if it exists at all, it's a local business, certainly, and the servants are all local, so you just might learn something. I've got a chance to learn a bit more on the journey, as it happens.
Oh? What do you mean?
It seems that one of Sir James's guests is travelling up with us, a Mrs. Margaret Irvine. That name ring any bells?
No. Should it?
There was a time when she made the society pages in a big way. One of the most beautiful women in Britain. Rich, fun-loving, you know the kind of thing.
Yeah.
Her husband stiffened his liver with champagne some years back. You don't hear anything about her now?
I remember there was that woman, who was it? Lady Docker.
I wouldn't boast about that. They'll give you a free bus pass. Anyway, Johnston reckons I'll find Mrs. Irvine in the buffet car, if I want to make myself known to her when we're underway. It wouldn't be such a bad idea. If we arrive already accepted by her, the battle's half won.
Yeah.
You know what, Frank? I'm rather dreading being a member of a country house party. Mrs. Irvine?
Yes? I'm sorry, have we...
Not till now, no. I'm a friend of Sir James. Sir James Blake.
Ooh.
On my way to Broadstone House. Sorry, my name's Hamilton, by the way. Edward Hamilton.
Hamilton! Scotch name! Not Manitron's one of
no.
the...
No. I'm not related to anyone.
Unique, if it were true. Do sit down.
Oh, thanks, I will. No, one of the West London Hamiltons.
Oh, can't be helped. Move the case. It's only there to baffle strangers.
Right. Oh, heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, I like these pilot's cases. They hold such a lot. So much more sensible than a handbag.
I hope you don't mind my joining it.
Not at all. Very sensible in the circumstances. Do you know Broadstone House well, Mr. Hamilton?
Never seen it in my life.
Ah, a treat in store, then.
Yes, I was going to be up in Scotland on business, and Sir James suggested I stop off for a week or so.
Sir James? Not Jimmy?
No, we served together in Cyprus.
Ah.
It's been a long time. You know.
And what are you up to these days?
To be honest, Mrs. Irvine...
Oh, Maggie.
Ah, right. Well, to be honest, Maggie, I'm Edward, Eddie.
Ah.
To tell the truth, there are more acceptable ways to put it. I'm a second-hand car dealer.
I've got an old Lagonda somewhere.
Have you? Yeah, that's my kind of car. The classic motors of the past. That's what I go in for. I've got my mechanic along with me for the jaunt. We'll just potter about, enjoy ourselves.
I should think there'd be rich pickings for you in Scotland. There's plenty of families with no money these days, but still hanging on to the trappings. Oh, it's all a bit sad, really. Now, in me, you'll see the modern woman, independent, incumbent neither by servants nor rising damp. Free spirit. Talking of which, spirits, that is, you better get yourself a drink. I'm on vodka.
Ah. Right. Sure.
Wherever you are, it stays with you somehow. It's an area that sinks its fingers into your imagination, Eddie, whether you like it or not. I very rarely go back these days myself, but
I never heard you were Scottish.
More Anglo-Scottish, like Jimmy. Oh, yes. My father's estate was only a few miles from Jimmy's. We were great friends as children. And thereafter, too. Well, it's hardly surprising. We read the same books, rode the same ponies, went to the same parties. Broadstone was famous for its parties. You could see the light from the house for miles on one of their grander occasions. Wonderful times. And one night a tall young girl from Stranraer caught Jimmy's fancy and kept it for 25 years. Virginia. Clever girl. Never had a good seat on a horse. Did for her in the end. Broken neck. But of course you know all that.
Maggie, I'm a complete interloper. I know nothing about anything. I've never even met the children.
Oh, well, you haven't missed much there. A yuppie and a daddy's darling. No, that's unfair. Julia may be utterly feckless, but she's adorable. And Nicholas isn't really a yuppie. He's simply a very promising merchant banker. No, Jimmy's been very lucky with his children, really.
I don't believe you have children yourself, do you?
No. I had a good time instead. I've had a very good time. Where's this mechanic of yours? It's a shame to leave him out of the party. Or are you a snob?
Me? No. Do I look like one?
Not a bit of one. You look a thoroughly good chap. But you...
But?
There's something indefinably dangerous about you. Now, why should I think that?
I've no idea. I've always thought of myself as something approaching a figure of fun.
Well, anyway, let's have some fun. Go and get this mechanic chap.
Yes. All right.
Here, I'll tell you what. If you like, I'll have a look at that Lagonda you got one day.
Oh, well...
Oh, if only I could remember exactly where I've got it. Do you know, your face is somehow familiar, Frank. Have we met before?
Oh, I don't think it's very likely, no.
Well, perhaps you remind me of someone, then.
One meets so many people, doesn't one?
I'm sure you do. I don't. Much. Take the others who are going to be at the house. I won't know any of them.
Oh, there's nothing to be afraid of, Eddie. Apart from ourselves and the children, there'll only be Freddie Drummond. And Peter Van Clues is bound to be in and out of the house. He always is these days, I believe.
Van Clues?
A millionaire from those other lowlands across the water. There's quite a lot of Dutch spoken in Scotland these days. Jimmy says it's because they haven't got any scenery of their own. Peter bought his land a couple of years ago. He's all right, I suppose. But you never quite know where you are with him, if you know what I mean. Another Bacardi, Frank?
No thanks, love. Mrs. Irving. I've still got two in front of me.
Freddie Drummond. What's he like?
Nothing on earth. Since the family money ran out, he's become a sort of upper-crust squatter, parking himself on whoever will have him for the odd week. One's always running into Freddie. I don't know why Jimmy puts up with him. But, of course, Jimmy has a heart of gold under that rather forbidding exterior, as you know, I'm sure.
There wasn't much in evidence in Cyprus. But then it wouldn't be, would it?
One does see Jimmy as being a tremendously good soldier.
Oh, absolutely. First class.
Freddie was in the Guards. One somehow can't imagine him shooting anything larger than a pheasant. Lord knows he's accounted for enough of those in his time. You could see it as a fair fight, though. If anything, the bird would be the keener-witted of the two. Eddie, it's your shout, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Not for me, Mr. H. I've got a bit of driving to do the other end.
Well, that's hours away. Perhaps you're right.
Be sweet and get me two, would you, Eddie? I doesn't like to be getting up and down all the time. He's a good fellow, isn't he, Mr. H?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised Sir James took to him. Have you been with him long?
Oh, yeah. Go back a fair way.
And is this your first trip to Scotland?
It is, as it happens.
I do prefer the train, I must say. You get an idea of the distance you're travelling. The Edinburgh train is much nicer than this, though. It's got a wonderful sort of observation car.
Has it?
He doesn't look like a garage owner somehow, your boss.
Well, he is.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Hamilton. Sorry we're a wee bit late. How is the train?
Incredibly, tiring, actually.
Oh, where's Mrs. Irvine?
Just back there. My man's helping her with her luggage.
Oh, good. I'll get over to her. She can be a tad difficult at times.
Really? You surprise me.
Oh, perhaps she's taken a shine to you. Oh, this is Rory. Rory Monroe. He'll look after you now.
Hello, Rory.
Good evening, sir.
All right, Rory.
Aye.
Excuse me. I better get to Mrs. Irvine before she,
Now then, sir.
Yes. I believe you have a hire car for us somewhere, Rory.
Oh, no, sir. There's not one of them. We brought the Land Rover for you. Sir James said you were to have the use of it. She's going very steady. I went over her this morning. That's her over there.
Distinctive.
Aye, well, she's old now, but she's a working woman still. You'll have no trouble from her. Let me take your... one of your cases...
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Johnson and myself will take Mrs. Irvine in the big car. You can follow behind if the engine is up to it. If not, well, there's a map in the dash and a can or so of petrol in the back.
I see. Well, lead on then, Rory.
Aye.
Put your foot down, Frank.
Striping the floor already, Mr. H.
We've lost them then.
And here comes the rain.
Welcome to Scotland.
And you are too. Welcome to it, so far. Chow, it's like marbles.
Never mind, we'll get there.
Till the wipers go anyway. But it's not exactly waterproof, is it?
Wonderful light. Magical.
Yeah. Looks a bit like England here, doesn't it? All them cows.
It won't be like England where we're going. That's the grey Galloway of misty hills.
Oh, poetic.
Part of the 39 steps were set around here, I believe. John Buchan.
John who?
And over on the Solway coast, the setting for the Master of Ballantrae. Heady stuff. Frank?
Yes, Mr. H?
The deal was a hire car for our transportation here.
Yeah, Well, they got this going, didn't they? So they thought, ha ha.
Did you ever buy anything on impulse? An expensive meal, a pullover, radio, doesn't matter what. And then regret it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Must have done.
I think that's what Sir James Blake has done with us. It's along here somewhere on the right. Rory said we couldn't miss the gatepost.
Yeah, we could miss a lighthouse in this. I was on a wet open air promotion once, fighting a bloke called Bobby
Barrett.
There
you go. There they are.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty imposing.
He never laid down a proper driveway, though, did he? Phew, blimey. I wouldn't like to have this place in winter.
Nor me. Will you look at the size of that house?
Jeez.
Must cost a fortune of heat. Just imagine it all lit up. Must have been a great sight.
Yeah. Well, not tonight, it ain't. It's bleeding gloomy.
Well, you're here at last. We had the car.
Given the car in question, I'm not surprised.
You'll be Mr. Hamilton. I'm Mary Lewis, Sir James's housekeeper. Come in. Come in. And this will be Mr. Bowyer, will it?
Yeah.
You'll come with me, Mr. Bowyer, and we'll get something wet and warm into you. This way.
Oh, that's great, huh? I could do with something warm and wet, like the whiskey, say.
You'll have tea. There are no spirits kept in a servant's wing.
I suppose Mrs. Irvine's been here some time, has she, Mary?
She has, yes. Mm. She's resting now. If you take this door on your right, Mr. Hamilton, you'll find the rest of the guests in there. Not too wet, are you?
Well, just a...
Oh, you'll do. This way, Mr. Bowyer.
Well, what about the cases, Mary?
It's Miss Lewis to you. I'll get Rory to fetch them in by and by. Not that you don't look a great strong thing, but it is your first night in all, so...
Here goes.
Stupid animal jumped low all the way round. I lost a packet. It was incredible. Hello.
Oh, hello, Edward. Very good to see you.
Hello. Sir James?
So, this then is your old soldier, is it, Jimmy?
It is, yes. It's been a long time. I hardly recognised you, Edward.
Tempest fugit? And all that?
Oh, well... We always promised ourselves we'd get together again sometime.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Oh, my son, Nicholas.
How do you do?
Hello.
And Peter Van Clues. Edward Hamilton.
Mr. Hamilton?
Mr. Van Clues. If I was a detective, I'd be looking for you, wouldn't I?
I'm sorry?
Clues, looking for clues. Sorry, it was a sort of a joke. Sorry.
Nicholas, will you look after Peter for a moment or two? I've been dying to show Edward the gun collection ever since I don't know when.
Oh, sure.
We just go through here. It's a very quaint house, as you'll have seen.
Mr. Hamilton, it was not a bad little joke at all.
Oh. Thanks.
I hope that wasn't a sample of how you mean to behave here, Mr. Hamilton.
No. Sorry about that. I got nervous.
Anyway, you've arrived. I'd have got Rory to usher you in, but he's struggling with some blocked guttering on the coach house. Dreadful place to maintain this.
Yes, I can imagine. You've got a good man in Johnson, though.
Oh, I know. It's a shame, but I'm letting him go. He leaves at the end of the month. Pulling my horns in a bit, taking on the job myself. Sorry for the chap, but...
He didn't tell me.
No, he's not the type to whine.
This is quite a surprise, this room, isn't it?
It's not in keeping with the rest of the house, you mean. Well, I needed somewhere to hang the modern pictures, and a place to show off the gun collection. I wanted an office rather than a study, so...
Very modern pictures, aren't they? Very,
My wife bought them in Paris on our honeymoon. That is their value to me.
Well, very colourful, anyway. What sort of school would they be?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. It's not my area of knowledge. The guns are rather more in my line.
Mine too. Quite a collection. Mostly handguns, I see.
Yes. Few of them of any great monetary worth, but all of some interest.
I'd like a proper look sometime. But that's not why we're here, is it?
No. Take a look at this.
The third bullet will travel faster. What? You mean you've got a second one?
Yes, here.
Yeah. It makes me angry, not scared. How dare they?
Have you told your son and daughter about these threats?
No. And I've asked Inspector Patterson to keep quiet about it, too. I don't want any more publicity of the kind my letter aroused. The Celts are a foolish race. This sort of nonsense is meat and drink to them.
I see. Anyway, tell me what you had in mind for us. I've a few ideas myself, of course, which I hope you'll...
No doubt you have. But it seems to me now that your presence here is an unnecessary precaution, taken against a most unlikely eventuality. Still, as you're here, I suppose I may as well attempt to see that you're fully employed. One way or another, that is.
Come in.
It's me.
So I see.
Cool. Yeah, it's a much better room than mine, aren't I tell you?
Well, it would be, wouldn't it? How's life in the servants' quarters?
Not a laugh a minute. There aren't any real servants anyway, not proper ones. There's Mary Lewis and Rory, that's all. The rest who was eating tonight was casuals who helped out on the estate.
All pretty basic, is it? Well, I'm not feeling too comfortable myself. There's a formal dinner party tomorrow. Oh, yeah. In the morning, Sir James wants you to drive to Glasgow Airport to pick up his daughter and Freddie Drummond.
Oh.
He wants us to work for our money, you see. He's feeling foolish about hiring us. Even so, we'll patrol the grounds at night on a shift basis and keep alert during the days. One of your jobs, Frank, will be to go through the household rubbish.
What? Sir James wants
no,
me to...
I do. I want to know everything I can about this place. A garbage search is an institution in California. When you want to know something about a reclusive movie star, you go through all the muck he chucks out of the house. There's a whole story there.
Oh, well, thanks very much.
Anytime, Frank. I want all the input I can get, because between you and me... We're on a hiding to nothing here. If nothing happens, Sir James gets sulky, he employed us. And if something does happen, there isn't a hell of a lot we can do about it. Because he's made it quite clear he won't skulk in his room all day, and frankly, I don't see another foolproof way of protecting him here.
No. It's a huge great pile, isn't it?
That's one way of putting it. I'm worried. What I'd like to be able to do is to dismiss the entire notion of a nationalist strike force. But there's the nature of the bullets to consider. Very warlike, Frank. No, we're going to cover every option we can think of. I'd hate to feel a fool, which I feel at the moment, by the way, with this in my possession. Sir James lent it to me.
A shoot, aye? You going to carry it?
Unload it, I might. I've done all the time I intend to do. That's it for now, Frank.
All right.
Get some kit. I'll take the first watch.
Well, casting my mind back on that journey we had... You've just made me an offer I can't refuse.
Good. Sleep well.
You've hardly touched your breakfast, Mr. Hamilton. It was hardly worth your coming down.
I don't really eat breakfast.
Oh, but you should.
It's the most important meal of the day, I know.
Some more coffee?
No, thanks, Mary. I've had the regulation 3 cups already. Frank got off all right, did he?
He did.
Just look at those hills. Magical. The high moors.
They're just hills.
And the air. People live longer here, I bet. You'd want to, anyway.
I should shut that window. It's chilling the room.
Where's Sir James?
He's in the study with Mrs. Irvine. He won't want to be disturbed.
I just want to know where he was. You don't have a building up there on the moors, do you?
No, we don't. Why?
There's an intermittent flash of light, like from glass.
We get some of those naturalists from time to time.
I suppose you would. I'm going for a walk. Quite a long walk, I should think. Could you tell Sir James if he asks?
Yes. If he asks.
Right, you.
Yeah, okay, settle down or you'll get another. Now, what are you doing up here with a pair of binoculars?
If you get off me, we might discuss it.
Why were you watching Broadstone House?
Do you know what the penalty is for assaulting a policeman?
Oh.
Would your name be Hamilton?
Yes. Yes, it is. Would your name be Patterson by any chance, Inspector Patterson?
It would.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. So, Sir James has got himself his man of action. Now, don't bother yourself. I'm not going to pull you in for this.
The whole thing's a silly game, anyway.
If that's what you think, what are you doing up here?
I thought I'd at least take a look. It's my day off.
Sorry about your lip. Hope I haven't ruined your free day completely.
You get funny with me, you'll be sorry indeed. And if you step out of line again, you'll be on your way home.
Yeah. Inspector, would it be a completely inappropriate time to ask you some questions?
Since I never want to set eyes on you again, it would be about your only chance, I'd say.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I was just wondering what your opinions were on this Scottish Border Patrol.
My opinion, Mr. Hamilton, is that this supposed organisation is a fiction from start to finish. There's plenty of folk who see devolution as a desirable and inevitable path for Scotland, and that kind of drama is both unnecessary and counterproductive.
Oh. Would I be right in guessing you were a Scottish nationalist yourself?
My politics are not your concern. Just take it from me that I know Scotland well, and I know this area better, and there is no such movement. It's the ugly foolishness of some prankster, and I'd like to teach that person a lesson he'd not forget.
I can see it would give your cause some very bad publicity, certainly. But it's still true that Sir James has received a quota of lead through the post, and not just 12-bore shotgun cartridges at that.
Well, he's not a popular man, I'll grant you that much. But if any of the local gentry were to be made a target, it would be your Dutchman, Van Kloos, not Sir James.
Oh? Why would that be?
Dutchman. They come over with more money than understanding and buy up everything in sight.
Land?
Yeah, everything they can lay their hands on, as far as I can see. No, he's the man they love to hate around these parts. As for Sir James... Oh, what you have down there is just an old soldier with an inflated opinion of his own worth. If he has a redeeming feature, it's that he dotes on his children.
I see. So you think I've come as a kind of nanny?
Well, judging by today's performance, I don't think you're much of a security expert. I'll say good day to you now, Mr. Hamilton.
Oh, all right. Bye for now.
Wait a moment. Hamilton, you wouldn't by any chance be related to the...
Only through Adam. Sorry. Bye, Inspector.
There's no need to shout, Miss Julia.
Nicky, where are you?
Where is she, then?
Oh, Nicky, why weren't you at the airport?
Oh, I thought I'd be seeing enough of you as it is. Hello, darling. Oh, don't squeeze too hard. I'll never play golf again.
I didn't know you played golf, Nicholas.
I don't. Hello, Freddy.
Hello. How's life in the square mile these days?
Oh, well, pretty dodgy, actually.
Where's your father?
Oh, I'm here, Freddy. Extremely good to see you. Hello, Julia.
Oh, it's no use you looking all stern and military, Pa. You're pleased to see me. Admit it.
You know I am.
Oh, it's been yonks. I say, you're looking awful well.
Happy family, aren't I, Mr. H?
Yes. My stiff upper lip's gone all soggy. Just watching them.
Boy, can you bring in the luggage?
Right you are, Sir James.
Oh, yes. Freddie and Julia, this is Edward Hamilton, an old acquaintance of mine from army days.
Oh, Mr. Hamilton. Not one of the...
No.
Yeah, no.
How do you do?
Oh, pretty well, thanks, Doc. Though I must say my guts aren't what they used
to. Hello, Mr. Hamilton. A new face at Broadstone. Well, that's nice. It's fearfully dull here normally, especially when it rains.
Hello, Maggie. All alone?
Yes. Nicholas has inveigled his sister and Jimmy into a card school in the nursery. Poor Freddy's making up the fourth. I was right, wasn't I? They're nice. The children.
Sure. Well, I'll leave you to your book. Go for a stroll.
Oh, Eddie, before you go, I've a favour to beg of you.
All right. Yours to command.
Well, it's a little delicate. But somehow one trusts you, and I really don't want Mary or anyone to know.
You interest me strangely. What do I have to do?
You remember my pilot's case?
The one you had on the train, yeah?
It's in my room. I'd like you to remove everything in it, every article, all of them, and put them in the dustbins. I'm sure I'd be caught if I did it myself. It really is a little delicate. Would you help me?
Of course I will.
Just like that. Oh, you're sweet, Eddie. I knew I could trust you.
Out of the way, Mr. Bowyer.
How?
I've got a lot to do.
I don't suppose all that stuff's for us, is it?
No, it's not. It's for the dinner tonight. Would you fancy peeling a few potatoes?
Well, I'll give it a go if you like.
Rather than lazing around like those upstairs.
Oh, the idle rich, you mean?
Well, idle, at any rate.
You don't sound like you're too fond of your employers.
Oh, you'd be wrong there, Mr. Impertinent. I regard it as a privilege to serve such a fine old family.
You lot go back quite a way, don't you? Only to the Crusades. Much grander to say you came over with William the Conk. And this one is great, 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 etc., Aunt Emily. Whenever Pa talks about getting the pictures cleaned, I remind him about old Emily. Imagine if you were cooped up with her on a rainy day.
It'd be even worse, I see what you mean.
I'm not boring you, am I?
No, not at all. Beats holiday slides any day. I suppose all these portraits must be worth quite a bit these days.
Alas, no. I had all the pictures in the house valued for Pa recently, and there wasn't one worth anything to shout about. I had high hopes of this lot, but it turned out that to a man, our ancestors had selected painters destined for artistic obscurity. Apparently some of the frames are worth more than the pictures they surround.
A lot of generals about. Gives you a funny feeling.
No? Why should it?
Oh, I don't know. My inferiority complex, probably. Why didn't you follow your father into the army?
I did. Well, I rebelled a bit. Inserted myself into the green jacket, not the family regiment. Then I rebelled a bit more and got out altogether. The city is the front line today, in any case.
Nicholas! Oh. Good evening, Mr. Hamilton.
Hello, Mary.
Mr. Nicholas,
hmm?
I have your dress suit all smartened up, as you asked.
Already? Well, thanks so much, Mary. Bring it up to my room whenever you've got a moment, can you?
Very well, Mr. Nicholas.
It's a really formal dinner tonight, then, is it?
Oh, sort of half and half. The food will be just as bad, whatever we wear. It always is here. We've got time to do the upstairs, if you like. Then I think it's a long hot bath for me.
And I'll have a little walk, I think.
Much the same thing in this weather. Now, here we come to a military man on my mother's side. General Moore. Not to be confused with Sir John Moore of Corunna fame, of course.
I don't think we've got any problems tonight, Frank.
Good.
I'll be inside with everyone else. You'll patrol out here. You don't mind, do you?
Anything's better than being a skivvy.
Before you left this morning, did you go through the garbage?
Yeah, thanks.
And?
It was very smelly. But I found a couple of letters to Sir James. Tradesmen complaining about bills not being paid. Is that interesting?
Yeah, and possibly puzzling.
Yeah. Anything happen here?
I bumped into Inspector Patterson, rather violently. Oh, and I did a little favour for Maggie.
Huh? What was that?
You know that pilot's case she has?
Yeah?
Full of vodka. Bottles of it. I got rid of them for her. She's kicking the drink. Or trying to.
Oh, yeah. She didn't all put it away on a train, didn't she?
She must have had it bad if she needs to travel that amount of booze for topping up on. I only tell you because you're going to come across the bottles in the rubbish anyway. Frank, have you had any reason to believe someone searched your room?
No reason to believe somebody hasn't. Door so blooming warped it won't even shut, let alone lock.
No. Mine doesn't lock.
Oh. So you think somebody could have gone through your stuff?
Yeah. I'm sure they have.
Who?
Someone who's not sure of us. Why we're here, who we are. At least we didn't lumber ourselves with assumed names, anyway.
You gotta tell this Patterson bloke.
I don't think he'd listen to me, Frank. Not now. Uh-oh. Here it comes again.
Oh. It rains through the roof in my room.
Yeah. One begins to get the idea that Sir James is really up against it where money's concerned. Nothing quite fits here, Frank.
Look at that. He's dressed up like Sherlock Holmes.
Hello. Edward.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Drummond. Yeah. You're not going out in this, are you?
Oh, a bit of weather, that's all it is.
Well, rather a lot, I'd say.
Oh, nothing to me. Showery. I go for a trot this time every day. Prepares the inner man. Eat hearty, plenty of exercise. Keep your bowels open, that's the thing.
I must remember that.
Oh, you can't go wrong if you do. I won't keep you.
No. Right.
Well, he must like his fodder, then.
Well, he certainly must. No wonder he costs so much to have around. Come on, let's get inside.
Oh, it's
Now, where was I, Edie? Oh, yes. The dog dropped it at my feet, you see. I was astonished. Unmarked it was, except the eyes.
Some wine, Mrs. Armine?
No, thank you, not for me.
One pellet, you see, had entered through the bird's eye.
Amazing.
I thought so. Tasted just the same, of course.
I've never understood the appeal of shooting.
What? You don't shoot, Johnson?
I've managed to avoid it so far.
You've done a cremation job again, Mary. Don't they ever give cookery tips in those slushy magazines you're always reading?
No. Mr. Hamilton, more meat.
Oh, I won't, thanks, Mary.
Mr. Nicholas?
Well, just a little, perhaps.
Don't eat enough. You could put more weight on.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mary. You were asking about the horses, Maggie. You bought them, didn't you, Peter? Our horses. I was telling Maggie why our stables are empty these days.
Ah, yes. I couldn't resist them, Mrs. Irvine.
No, not at a knockdown price, eh, Peter?
No, you two, I don't want any squabbling here tonight. Johnson, be a good fellow and charge the glasses, will you? Yeah.
If you say so, Sir James.
I do, for a very particular reason. A toast, for a very particular occasion. But cheers, everyone. I really can't hold on to the secret any longer. That this afternoon, Margaret, Maggie, consented to marry me.
Good Lord.
Oh, but that is marvellous news.
Oh, yes, my word, I'll say so. Tremendous. I congratulate you both.
You don't mind then, Nicholas? Really, Jimmy, you might have waited.
Julia and I are thrilled for you both. Aren't we, Jules?
I'm dumbfounded, speechless. Oh, yes, it's wonderful.
You're very sweet, Julia.
Oh, give us a kiss, Maggie. A wicked stepmother at last. You can't know how much I've wanted one.
Nicholas.
May I congratulate you too, the both of you?
Oh, yes, yes, many happy years to you both. Splendid match. Matching pair, eh?
The toast that I have in mind is very simple. I ask you all to drink to the future Lady Blake. Gentlemen and Julia, I give you... Maggie.
Oh, we've got to toast you too, Pa. Oh, in fact, both of you. Who's going to do the speech making? Oh, come on. Come on.
No,
yes, we all know that.
Oh, well, I'll just have to do it myself then, won't I?
The port is with you, Edward.
Oh, yes, great.
Tell me, Jimmy, did you ever get any reaction of any kind to that extraordinary letter of yours? The one that appeared in the paper.
Oh, that? No. I don't think anyone cares what an old soldier has to say about current affairs. He must have eaten something that disagreed with me the night before.
I wouldn't be at all surprised with Mary in the kitchen.
I understand the port is a socialist, Mr. Hamilton. It travels to the left.
Oh, yes, of course it does. I sit corrected. There you go, Mr. Johnson.
No more for me. I'll be getting back to the cottage, if you don't mind, Sir James.
Not at all. You'll have a busy day tomorrow, I'm sure.
Aye, I'm in the woods tomorrow. There's a lot of clearing to be done before before I go.
I don't think I'll be joining the females tonight either, Jimmy. It's late, so I believe I'll be on my way. I suppose this wonderful news we've heard tonight will have no effect on the little transaction we have?
Well, no. My word is my bond. You should know that.
And what transaction is that, Pa?
Nothing much. A little bit of the high land.
A little bit more, you mean? And worth a little more than Pete will be paying you, even if it is mortgaged to the hilt.
I will look at this kind of impertinence at my table. I'm sorry, Peter.
Oh, it's of no importance. It's late, and we've all enjoyed an adequate amount to drink.
Have we? I haven't. Don't suppose there's a possibility of a brandy, sir? A little nightcap?
Come in.
Sorry to barge in on your territory, Mary. Frank?
Oh, no. I haven't finished my breakfast yet. Well, you shouldn't get up so late.
What?
You're the last one up in the whole house.
Oh, he's not that. Mr. Drummond is keeping to his bed. A touch of the collie wobbles, he says.
And a touch too much brandy, we say. Hey, Mary? Mm. Come on, Frank. Bring the fried bread with you, if you like.
Oh, big deal.
No rest for the wicked. Isn't that what they say, Mr. Boyer?
Yeah. Don't say nothing about no breakfast, though.
Listen. I'm keeping Sir James and Maggie company at breakfast. Nicholas and Julia have gone for a prowl round the stables. Get out and keep an eye on them, will you?
Yeah, all right. At least it ain't raining. That's something, I suppose.
A grand day, isn't it, Frank?
Ah,
Morning, Rory. Hard at it, are you?
Well, there are no beasts here, but Sir James likes the flesh shiny. Yeah. There's too much to do as it is.
Oh, hello. There's the terrible twins.
Aye, Mr. Nicholas and Miss Julia. Always together when there's a chance, those two.
No! Oh, my God! Oh!
What's happened? Miss Julia!
I think she's been shot, and the boy's been hit, too. Now, get to James.
Right.
Mr. Nicholas! Stay down! Get under cover!
Bastard!
No, don't do it! Come back! Don't be a fool!
What's going on, Frank?
I couldn't stop him, Mr. H.
What is it? What happened?
No, keep out of the open. Don't show yourself. Frank?
I don't know what happened, but they got Miss Julia all right.
Julia?
Just stay where you are, sir. They could be waiting for you.
Oh, God. She isn't moving.
No.
She wouldn't have had time to feel a thing. That's something, anyway.
I
didn't even hear a shot, you say?
No, I didn't say that, Mr. Drummond. Well, I thought I heard both of them. Very faint from the hills. But it was all so quick.
All within a moment, I expect.
Oh, yeah. 1 minute, they're both standing there. They were looking in at the stables. And then the tap room window behind her goes. She's on the ground and blood everywhere. And the second shot's knocked her brother over. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't take it in, you know.
I tell you, Frank, he's a chap off the old block, Mr. Nicholas says. Getting up and going after them like he did.
Oh, yeah. And he's wired up proper. Silly fool. Mind you, I wouldn't have given much for their chances if he had found someone.
Oh, but he didn't. I know how he feels, though. I feel angry and helpless myself, as I told the inspector. Unfortunately, it was about all I could tell him. Strange, isn't it? It's the living one feels sorriest for. Yeah. Look at old Jimmy, just sitting there, silent as... He wouldn't even talk to Van Kloose when he phoned. Man only wanted to offer his sympathy.
You know, I wish I'd left the forestry to itself today. Mm. You can't help but feel you could have done something.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Pa.
How's your side, Nick?
Oh, I'm all right. The bullet didn't hit anything vital. I've been given a clean bill of health.
I'm glad. Hasn't Patterson finished with that fool Hamilton yet?
Now let me ask you a question, Inspector. Is there a border patrol? Or was that just a blind for some local marksman with a grudge? A psycho, even?
Now, whoever did it, it disgusts me that an innocent young girl was killed. Now, I'm not here to speculate. Except I will say that all kinds of unsuitable people manage to get their hands on firearms these days. As witness yourself. Perhaps you'll be so good as to hand over that gun you were lent. Thank you.
It's not loaded. I never carried it loaded. But I didn't want to leave it lying around, so...
Well, there must be a spark of sense in you somewhere then. But I'll be glad to be rid of you. Much good you did. Sir James tells me he's determined to raise £15,000 as a reward for information leading to a conviction. Now, how does that affect you, you ask yourself? Well, it doesn't, because you'll be in the first plane or train home after the inquest. And it is my sincere hope that we never meet again, you understand me? This case is closed as far as you're concerned, and if I catch you around here again, you'll be in more trouble than you could ever imagine.
Must take a lot of effort to carry a grudge the way you do.
No. With you, it comes easily.
We've heard from the killers. A man just said, this is the border patrol. Our account is settled for now. Then he hung up. I'm sorry, I couldn't get him to...
What sort of accent?
Local,
yeah, you
I think.
Keep out of this, Hamilton. I've finished with you anyway. You can go. Oh, all right, Sir James. Could you go through that again? No. Take your time.
Kill.
Well, it's not raining. It's trying to blow your clothes off.
We've said our goodbyes. I'm not going back in. Rory will be here in a minute in the Land Rover.
Yeah. I've been thinking.
Oh, what kind of metal?
No, I'm serious, Mr. H. Going by the spent bullets, it was a specialist job, sniper's gun, right?
Right.
Right. So why does the killer go for the kids and not Dad? With that kind of accuracy, he could have picked him off any time.
You're not telling me anything new, Frank.
Oh, sorry.
What is new is that I went through the rubbish this morning.
I thought we didn't have to anymore.
Did you? Among the rotting vegetables, I found a hypodermic syringe.
You're joking. You mean there's a drug addict about?
How do I know? I'll find out in London when I get an analysis run.
Oh, so you're not just going to take the money and run then?
You think I could?
Mr. Hamilton. Eddie.
Hello, Maggie.
Hi. Jimmy might not want to set eyes on you again, but I don't see why I shouldn't.
Thanks. You're a very nice person, Maggie. I hope you'll be happy together.
Oh, I should think so. Eventually. I'm sorry about Jimmy.
You can't blame him for being bitter.
This is it, then. I nearly missed you altogether.
I'm sorry we tricked you, Maggie. I feel bad about that now I know you.
Oh, I always knew you couldn't be quite what you said you were. I knew you were dangerous, remember?
Well, I didn't have a chance to prove it, did I?
Come on now. In you get.
Coming. Maggie, on this grubby card is my address.
Yes.
It'll sound strange, but I want you to tell me Johnson's political affiliations. The inspector will find out eventually. Get it from him, but don't mention my name. Could you do that?
I hope you're going to let this rest here, Eddie. With the police, I mean.
Of course I am. It's for my peace of mind, that's all. Will you do it?
Well, all right. Oh, I nearly forgot. Mary made you some sandwiches.
Kind of her. Well, see you, Maggie.
I don't think so, Eddie. Goodbye. Both of you.
Well, that's it then. Tonight at Broadstone House. You all right, Mr. H?
Yeah, just thinking.
It's a nice scrub, that. That's a decent signage, Mary, even if she can't cook. Hey, Rory?
Well, you can't have everything, Frank. At least you're still easy on the eye. If you like them skinny, that is.
No, I don't, as it happens. I like something you can get hold of.
Stop it, Frank. It was boiling.
Oh, let it.
No.
Oh. Oh, well. Two lumps, please, and a packet of bromide.
What?
Before your time, love.
Oh, you're not half rough on my cardigans. Have you seen your Mr. Hamilton lately?
No, not for days.
Yeah, feeling sorry for himself, Mr. Big Shot.
No, he's not like that. Anyway, the police haven't got anywhere, have they? He's not the only one feeling stupid.
Hello?
Hello? Eddie Hamilton?
Maggie! Hello? You got the word on Johnson, then?
Yes. It's well known locally that he's a staunch conservative. True blue Tory, I suppose you'd call it. He's also a Rotarian, if that's any help.
What do you mean? Help?
You know exactly what I mean. You continue to worry me, Eddie, even at a distance. I've done what I promised I'd do, and now I'm hanging up. Goodbye, Eddie.
Bye, Maggie. And thanks.
Hello there.
Good evening, sir. I'm afraid you can't come in without a tie.
No, I'm not coming in. If you don't mind, I just thought I'd hand the money straight over to you.
Oh, I beg your pardon?
Rather than gambling it away. Huh? I'm prepared to let you have £5 if you tell me whether the gentleman who's just gone in is a regular visitor.
Hey, £5?
£10, then. £15, and that's all she wrote. And for that, you're going to tell me all you know about him.
I can't take it here.
Fine. I can wait. I'll be in the pub over the road.
Hello, Evans and Halstead.
Good morning. My name's Hamilton. I'm acting on behalf of a friend who wishes to dispose of some of his possessions.
Yes?
I rather hoped you might be the people to help me.
I see. How exactly do you think we might be able to assist you, Mr. Hamilton?
I suppose it'd be largely a matter of evaluation. The expert eye, that kind of thing.
Stop it, Frank.
What?
You know what?
Oh, all right. Why?
Because I say so.
Oh, all right.
That's better. Turn telly on, love, see what's on.
Oh, no, not more telly. Let's have a talk instead. Do you read the paper today?
Not yet.
Well, it says Sir James Blake is getting married day after tomorrow in Scotland.
Well, that's where he lives, isn't it? Go on, Frank, turn on the telly.
No. You won't have time to get stuck into anything tonight anyway.
Why not?
We won't be here.
Oh, won't we? Oh, Frank!
Yeah, we're going out tonight. Somewhere where there'll be sounds and action and people enjoy themselves in elegant surroundings.
Oh, Frank!
Yeah. Boxing bill at the Albert Hall. He's cut! He's cut! Clash of heads! Oh, no! No, he's been tagged, stupid Welshman.
Looks all right to me.
No, his legs have gone. Oh, now he's trying to showboat, bloody fool. Oh, there he goes. Another horizontal hopeful. I hate these Mexicans. They need the money more than what we do. That's what does it. What a fiasco.
I don't know why you come if you don't enjoy it.
So instead of British victory, it's Welsh failure. Plenty of guts, though.
Oh, hello, Mr. H.
Hello, Frank. Have I had a job to find you? Hello there. Lynn, isn't it?
What do you want?
I'm borrowing Frank for a while.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what's up?
Oh, I don't suppose either of you are interested in what I might think.
Ladies and gentlemen, with Thomas in no condition to defend himself, the referee has stopped the fight after 2 minutes and 20 seconds of the ninth round. The winner! Rico!
She'll get over it.
Ah, don't matter, Mr. H. I think she's gone off me, to tell the truth. Calls me a sexist pig. That's a hint, isn't it?
Well, you're not exactly the modern man, Frank.
No. Where are we going?
Pub, for a talk.
What about?
About going back to Galloway.
Aye?
To Broadstone House.
Why?
Because I didn't like the way we arrived, and I especially didn't like the way we left. Because someone's going to get killed, and because all along there was a good, old-fashioned motive. Something that was hand-woven underwater.
You what? Come on then, Mr. H. Start showing off.
Happy to oblige. I'll start with murder number one, and we'll get on to two and three later.
What?
Drink your beer and listen.
Right.
It all boils down to whether you believe in border patrol. If you're like me and you don't, you're looking for someone who's close to Sir James who's using it for cover. Patterson can sort through the locals till he's blue in the face. Someone searched my room while we were there. Someone who could walk in and out of Broadstone with impunity. Like who, you ask? Well, I'm ruling out Maggie for a start.
Why?
Because I like her, Frank.
Oh.
I also got to like Johnston, but he was the only likely devolutionary, I thought. With the exception of Inspector Patterson.
Yeah, and Johnston got the sack. And he didn't have much of an alibi neither.
None at all. But by his own account, he couldn't shoot. And he votes true blue with Sir James. Peter Van Clue seems quite capable of murder to me. But he had guessed at the time of the shooting, and anyway, it looked as if he was getting all he wanted quite legally and pretty cheaply, too. Revenge? For some slight, real or imagined? Not his bag. Too cool. But revenge is a very handy general-purpose motive. Perhaps for someone like the impoverished Freddie Drummond.
Oh, yeah, he'd be my choice. He could be the one. He can shoot like Calamity Jane. And his alibi was muck. In bed at the time. Blimey.
But I don't see Freddie shooting Julia and Nicholas. They liked one another. Would Mary have wanted Julia dead? Why? For criticising her cooking? Hardly. In any case, Mary and Rory were on duty in plain view that morning, so unless either or both had outside help, that one's no good. And you need someone who can lay their hands on sophisticated weaponry. Right about here, I went back to the conspiracy theory. A group of locals inflamed by Sir James as a magistrate. But you keep coming back to the fact that it was Julia who died. Let's just take a stunningly obvious premise, then. Someone actively wanted Julia dead. How about that?
Well, then you're worse off than you was before.
And then I really took wing. I remembered that the original death sentence on Sir James wasn't unequivocally lifted. Our account is settled for now. A simple sum, Frank. Who stands to gain if both Julia and her father are dead?
You're kidding. Nicholas? But... Oh, yeah, I get it. He'd known for a while that Dad was going to marry Mrs. Irving and be rich again, yeah.
No. Oh. The trouble is, I'm certain he knew nothing of the kind. I was there when Sir James told everyone the good news, and I've never seen anyone look so gobsmacked as Nicholas.
Oh, forget it then. Van Gogh's your money motive. If Nick faked Border Patrol, he set it up at a time when, as far as he knew, his father was down to the loose change in his pockets. Now, you can call me dumb if you like, but as well as that, didn't Nico have the best alibi of anybody bar none?
Yes, you're right. Absolutely right. Cast iron, wasn't it?
So now you're telling me he got someone, one of the others maybe, he got someone to hide at a distance of half a mile and guarantee to kill Julia and leave him with a flesh wound. You want to connect your brain to your mouth, you do.
I don't deny that I can't work that one out. But there were a couple of things that worried me, even then, about that business at the stables. The main one was Nicholas chasing after the killer.
Well, that's natural enough, isn't it? He's got a bit of bottle. Loved his little sister. I mean, come on.
Okay, fine. Just fine. He belts off in the direction from which two very accurate gunshots have come, straight towards the killer. Fine. I don't mind that. But then he comes back, Frank. Alive.
Yeah.
At the very least, that suggests one thing. The murderer didn't mind that he was still breathing. It just niggled at me. And I was lucky because he lives and works in London. So, I had time on my hands, so I tailed him when he got back. And the first piece dropped into place. He's a heavy gambler.
Is he?
To the point of compulsion. In spite of his high-flying job, he needs large sums of money to fund this addiction. So he's really got a motive, if he knows there's money when he inherits. So now I start to think that somewhere in the environs of Broadstone House, there just has to be something that is hand-woven underwater.
That again? What's it mean?
It means, to me, something that radically alters your perception of something that is quite unremarkable in itself. You see, I saw this Panama hat once.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't look much, but it cost a fortune. Why? Because it was certified hand-woven underwater. Well, now, Sir James has some very ugly modern paintings in his study. If you look very carefully, I was recently informed, you can see the signature of one Gerard Arnoux. Oh. All in ignorance, Sir James has the entirety of the early work of a dead painter who's come smack into fashion. Took me time to get to that. I knew Nicholas has had all the pictures in the house valued, and he told me they were worthless. But I thought I'd better check anyway. After quite a search, I tracked down his tame art expert and lent on him as hard as I know how. He folded like a deck chair. Which is to say, I got the right result after a struggle. The early work is very untypical, but the signature alone makes those French paintings worth big money, and this guy told Nicholas that, and somehow he forgot to pass the good news on to Dad. How am I looking now, Frank?
Better. Much better.
So, incomplete as it is, my scenario is that Daddy was booked to die, and Nicholas was flexible enough to change his plans when he saw he could double his winnings. But I really can't see him letting the happy couple have much of a honeymoon. Not with his money worries. As a matter of interest, Maggie was the reason we worked undercover up there. Sir James didn't want to alarm the poor old soak while he was proposing.
So if I've got you right, you think it's wedding bells followed in a hurry by a joint funeral?
Exactly that. And Nicholas cops the lot. He flew up to Scotland yesterday, Frank.
Good. You can't be sure, Mr. H.
No, I can't. Are you coming?
Well, can't rain all the time, I suppose.
Ow! Corn Bennett! It snapped off, Mr. H.
Oh, well. We won't have corned beef, then.
Ow!
At least we're speaking. That makes a change.
Well, you should have warned me. Warned me about putting up in a tent.
It's all I could afford. And it keeps us incognito.
Yeah, it don't keep us dry, though, does it? God, talk about hand woven underwater. Any minute we'll be nabbed by Rory or someone and handed over to Inspector Patterson. Lovely.
I shouldn't think so. This is Van Cluse's land now. I researched it in case it was the estate itself that had the hidden value. It hasn't.
Look, it's getting dark. I'm not talking to you. I'm going to have me kip.
No kip. We've got to get going soon. Take a look round the house, paying a special attention to Nicholas's room.
Oh, yeah. And then get done for breaking and entering, when you probably got hold of the wrong end of the stick anyway.
You're a perpetual disappointment to me, Frank. You never ask the right questions, do you? Like what was in the hypo I found in the rubbish. I'll tell you then, since you're so interested. It was a local anaesthetic. The hypodermic was wrapped in a magazine called True Affairs of the Heart. Now, what does that suggest?
I don't know. Unless you need an anaesthetic to read that kind of stuff.
Supremely witty. All right, time to go.
Go out? In that lot?
What a little rain. It's the eve of the wedding, Frank.
Oh, yeah. Nearly slipped me mind, that did. It's not this way. I've lost my bearings.
I think we're okay. Just keep going straight ahead.
Mr. H, stop a minute.
What is it?
I've fallen over. Slipped. Oh, I'm all over mud now.
Are you? Nearly there. We get sight of the house soon.
Mr. H, I am going to kill you if you're wrong about all this.
Look on the bright side. It's not raining just at the moment. You sure it's just mud, are you?
I think it's just mud.
Come on. Look.
What? What is it?
There you are, Frank. Broad stone house. All lit up for a party. Quite a sight?
Yeah.
Though by the sound of it, not a grand party, as in days gone by. Well, get closer. And for God's sake, be careful going down, will you?
There's not much going on in the main house. It's quiet there.
Yeah. Looks like Sir James is playing the liberal-handed squire. Party for the locals in the servants' wing.
Look, Johnston's not here anymore, is he? Can't we wait in his cottage, get dry?
Too risky.
Oh, I don't see why.
Hello. Someone's coming out of the house.
It looks like Sir James.
It is. And Maggie. Spread yourself flat, the car's coming round. The faithful Rory at the wheel, no doubt.
Yeah. I notice Nicholas isn't going with them.
That's true. But then why should he? Probably they're going out to dinner. Or Sir James is taking her to stay the night somewhere because they mustn't meet tomorrow until the ceremony. Bad news, keep dead still. The headlights are going to catch us. Wow. For a minute, I thought we'd been spotted.
Now, and now you're all muddy too, Mr. H. Well, the coast as clear as it's going to be.
And not just for us, perhaps. Clear for Nicholas and Mary Lewis, too.
Mary Lewis? Now you've...
Hang about. Will you look at that? Nicholas is out of the house the moment the car's out of the driveway. You know, I think we may have liftoff, Frank.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's just not in there.
It'd be a famous first if it was. Where's he off to?
Well, that's the coach house.
Yeah. What's in there? Do you know?
Not a lot. Odds and sods. That's where they got the oil tank for the heating. What's all this about Mary Lewis, then?
Yes. In one bold stroke, I pretty well combined Cherchez la Femme and the butler did it. Good going, eh?
Mary Lewis.
Yep. Still attractive. And attracted to Nicholas, I believe. The young master. It ties in beautifully. All those pulp magazines she reads. There's a romantic fluttering away under that solid steel exterior.
And the hypo was in one of them magazines.
You got there, Frank. Here he comes again.
With a wheelbarrow. What's that for?
Beats me. Okay, here we go then. You follow Nicholas as close as you can. I'm going into the coach house for a look-see. We meet outside Johnson's old cottage when you've established what Nick's up to. Get to me quickly if he starts heading back too soon. Go now, or you could lose him. Be seeing you.
See you, Mr. H. Mr. Hamilton!
Yeah, all right, I know. I should have said inside the cottage. Never mind. I read it right, Frank, all along, and I'm feeling good for a change. There's a trap door to a little cellar in there, under the oil tank. Not much room, but enough for one Dragunov sniper rifle and accessories, including a mounting for it. What about you? What was Nicholas up to back there?
I couldn't get too close. There's not much cover. He was digging in the driveway, as far as I could see. And then he started looking around him, so I beat it. He didn't see me.
Is he still there? What do you reckon?
Well, I should think so. He was taking his time.
Good. It's time we got in out of the rain.
Yeah.
We'll break into the house through the study. I want to renew my acquaintance with that little gun I was lent. An old Browning in perfect condition. Unlike the rifle under the coach house. Someone had removed the trigger from that.
What?
Now that's quaint, isn't it?
If you say so. Listen, why don't we just go in through the front door? He didn't lock it, did he?
No more he did. You're on. Let's go then. We don't know how long he's going to be.
You just had to break something, didn't you, Mr. H?
How else am I going to get a gun? Where did Sir James keep the ammo?
Search me.
Hang on. Locked.
Blimey, I should lift that tin of corned beef to you, shouldn't I?
Getting into things is my speciality. Usually hot water.
Don't I know it. But what do we do now?
Phone call to the police. We've got the evidence in the coach house. But I don't want anyone getting away, so I want this in full working order.
Strange. Being in this blooming great house alone.
We're not alone. There's a whole group of revelers in the servants' wing. And someone rather closer to hand.
Hey.
The light's gone on in the drawing room. Get to the door.
Right. Careful!
Nicholas? Are you, darling? Are you in?
I've got him, Mr. Hamilton.
Well done, Frank.
What do I do with her now?
Just keep her quiet. We'll tie her up and gag her. There's a good long flex on the standard lamp. Sorry about this, Mary. There's no point in us tipping off the police if you get a chance to tip off the young master. This done, Frank, we'll go through into the drawing room and have a brandy.
Yeah.
I imagine if we leave the lights on and stay out of sight, Nicholas will eventually appear for a tryst with his Miss Lewis. I assume that's why you went into the drawing room, Mary? Ah. It was. Good. Thanks.
He's taking his time, isn't he? What if he doesn't come?
Keep looking, he'll come.
I hope Mary's all right in there. He tied her pretty tight.
Stop worrying, Frank.
What if someone comes in for the party?
Why would they? It's off limits to them.
Well, they might come in here looking for her. And there he is. He's coming.
Okay. Now work your way around to the study door.
Right.
On your hands and knees. I don't want you crossing the lights. Funny, isn't it? It doesn't matter how broke these kind of people are, they always buy the best brandy. Don't let him fool you, Frank. He's a murderer. Hi, Nicholas. This is the alternative party. Get yourself a drink. We'll toast the happy couple.
I see your sense of humour hasn't improved. I would have thought it had been made quite clear to you that you weren't welcome here.
Well, who is, with you around? Not your sister, not your father, not his bride-to-be. You've been rambled, Nicholas.
Have you glanced in a mirror lately? You've no idea what you two look like. The abominable mudmen. Oh, for heaven's sake, I don't object to your jokes, Edward, but this... Frank, has your boss ever been in a mental institution?
Watch your lips, son.
I see. Fine. Will you both just wait here a moment? I'm going to get Rory and one or two of the others.
I'll blow your foot off if you try.
That's my father's gun. So, we can add theft to a growing list of misdemeanors. Oh, you ridiculous oaf. I'm going to have to phone the police, and I can't think Inspector Patterson is going to welcome your return with enthusiasm. Quite the reverse, in fact. Have you thought of that?
I've already called the police, Nicholas. I left a message for Inspector Patterson. I'm sure he won't waste any time getting here, even if it's only because he hates my guts.
Bright as a button, aren't you? In the circumstances, I'm sure you'll have no objection if I call my solicitor. The number's in the study.
So are about 20 handguns. No dice.
You are insane, aren't you? All right, get out of my way, Frank. I've had enough of this.
Mr. H.
Stop him, Frank.
I said out of my way. I mean it. I'll get
back off, son. Okay. You asked for it. Oh! Well, only hit him in the bread basket, Mr. H.
Yeah. Fascinating effect, wasn't it? Straighten him up.
Come up, sir.
You hit him in the stomach. And in the process, you also made violent contact with this. A high-frequency radio trigger. I'm afraid the landmine Mr. Blake has just planted in the driveway has gone off at least 12 hours early. It would have welcomed the newlyweds home from the ceremony. Instead, by the sound of it, you've just missed Inspector Patterson. Yes, it was a stunningly simple plan. Nicholas would have been driving behind you and Maggie, Sir James. He had only to press a button when you reached the spot marked X. Would have been one of the shortest marriages of the year.
You all right, Sir James?
Yes, yes. But I'm going to sit down, I think. I'm only glad Margaret isn't with us to hear this.
It's worse for you than it is for her.
So, it seems you weren't such a poor man to employ after all, Mr. Hamilton. And in your view, there was no one else involved?
For what reason? No, it was just the two of them. Nicholas and the woman had been besotted with him for years.
The telephone call I had from Border Patrol...
Done by mirrors, Sir James. Well, not quite. Johnson was out all that day and his cottage was empty. Mary slipped over there and waited until she received a signal from Nicholas. When you answered the phone, the recorded voice you heard was that of your son, who was in the room with you at the time, looking concerned.
He couldn't have killed Julia. It's unthinkable. He worshipped her.
No. She worshipped him. She'd have done anything for him. Her handsome, entertaining brother. So loving, so amusing. I suppose she might even have thought he had something amusing in mind when he asked her to look in through the little window of the tack room. Now, that was odd. Because now Peter Van Clues had bought your horses, the room was completely bare. Why would she look into an empty room? Why? Because her brother asked her to. Because weather conditions were favourable... And he had a Dragunov sniper rifle zeroed in on the square of glass that framed her head. He stood beside her and in effect pulled the trigger himself using the same radio mechanism that set off the mine. No wonder he dashed off. He had to recover the gun he'd mounted in the hills.
No, hold on there. He was shot himself.
The Dragunov carries a 10-shot magazine. The second round in that magazine was a blank. I think you'll find that Mary Lewis pierced the hole in his side that morning after first giving him a local anaesthetic. Perhaps she planted the spent bullet in the wall, too. You better ask her.
So when he drove off...
He picked up the rifle and its mounting and then ripped off the bandaging under his shirt, which had been holed as if a bullet had passed through it. After that, he bled freely enough, and he drove back with all the evidence in the boot of his car. Why would anyone look in that?
Nicholas, his mother loved him so much.
Yeah, he has the gift of making people love him. I'm sorry, Sir James.
I asked him for money once. He wouldn't help me.
He couldn't. It's a real illness, addictive gambling.
Yes. Speaking of money, Mr. Hamilton, I believe I owe you some. £15,000. Will you excuse me, gentlemen?
Oh, no, I really don't think...
No, I insist. I feel, too, that an apology is called for, Mr. Hamilton. I misjudged you.
I'm sorry, too, Sir James.
Yes. Yes. It's a bad business.
Well, that was quite an understatement. You have to admire the old devil. He's taken it like a man, like a soldier. I'll tell you frankly, Mr. Hamilton, I was getting nowhere with this inquiry. I've got a lot to thank you for. But I'd still like to know how a city gent lays his hands on the kind of hardware Mr. Blake obtained.
Well, I don't know everything, Inspector, flattering though the assumption is. But it might be that an ex-army city gent has rather more...
Mr. H.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, but Sir James is alone in there with that gun collection. It might sound silly, but...
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. Didn't occur to me. And the Browning's loaded.
Sir James! It's locked, damn it. Sir James!
We'll break it open.
Right. Together now! Sir James! Sir James, can you open? Again. Harder!
Would you get my sergeant here, Mr. Bowyer? There will be no urgent need for an ambulance, I'm afraid.
Come in.
Inspector Patterson said he wanted to see me.
Ah, that nice sergeant told him. A very nice man, that sergeant. He brought me what I needed. And now you. £15,000, Eddie.
Yes.
Timmy's last action was to write a cheque for £15,000 to the man who killed him.
I didn't kill him, Maggie.
No. Well, anyway, now he's dead. And those ghastly pictures will be sold and you'll get your money. Because he's dead. You pour me another one of these. No, don't bother then, I'll do it myself. I'm used to looking after myself.
I didn't do it for the money, Maggie.
What was it then? Vanity?
Anyway, Frank gets a third of it, if it helps you to know.
Isn't it funny? I was sitting here with time on my hands, and it came to me where I'd seen Frank before. He was a boxer. I used to go to the fights. Not with Jimmy, of course. With that utter bore, my husband. I know Jimmy wouldn't have proposed to me if I'd been poor. I knew that. But I didn't mind.
You're alive, anyway.
Is this living? What will happen to Nicholas?
I'd expect a recommendation he served no less than 25 years.
I'll be dead before that. This stuff may work slowly, but it works.
Give it up, Maggie. You have once already.
For a reason. The reason's gone. So, what will you do with your share of the money?
I've got some debts. I need a car. With a car, maybe, I could even get my old job back.
Which was?
I'm a toy salesman. I sell toys.
How inappropriate. Join me. Do.
No, I've got a train to catch.
If I think about it, I think I'd rather have had just 2 hours of marriage than this.
I couldn't let Nicholas get away with it.
No. We all do what we're driven to do. Jimmy was really fond of me when we were young. Everything went wrong for both of us. Long time ago for me. I'd like you to leave now. Goodbye, Eddie.
Goodbye, Maggie.
In Handwoven Underwater, Gary Waldhorn played Eddie, John Hollis, Frank, Margaret Courtney, Maggie, James Green, Sir James, Stephen Garlick, Nicholas, Joanna Myers, Julia, Timothy Carlton, Van Cluse, Crawford Logan, Inspector Patterson, Isabel Nisbet, Mary Lewis, Fraser Carr, Johnston, David King, Freddie, Elizabeth Mansfield, Lynn, and David Bannerman, Rory. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.